You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
CFL podcast. My name's Oz Davis. I'll be the co-host for the second week in a row. I might have just jinxed myself. Yeah, but see, I might have just jinxed myself there. And applauding me and serving as my co-host is Joe Pritchard. Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing better than our buddy Dr. Rouge, because I know for a fact he is sitting out in the rain because Pittsburgh, he went to the Pittsburgh Pirates game tonight. It was for his university's night out at the ballpark, and they just happened to be facing a team very superior to his. It happens to be my Milwaukee Brewers, so I've been paying a little bit of attention, picking on him the last couple days about how things are going to go. And now, because he's ditching us tonight, and I'm kidding around with you, but this is kind of what you get, right?
Well, okay, yes. I mean, I wouldn't call it ditching. I mean, I do not blame the man for going to see a game in a pro baseball park, especially if it's being paid for by somebody else. You gotta like that. So you take that. However, I also back your right to talk trash. You know, I mean, he's playing your team. The Pirates are not exactly quality baseball. So you can talk all the trash you want. I think fair is fair, especially since he can come right back to you and tell you that he went perfect in CFL Pick'em last week.
Yes, that he can, but since he's not here, he doesn't get to do it tonight. I am sure, though, when he goes 4-0 this week, he's going to let us have it next week. I got to get a poke in here and there when I have a chance to, before we have to bow down to him beating the crap out of us in CFL Pick'em.
Sure. Well, we're all equal on this level because all of our teams lost this week in week one. So it's a great start for our franchises. I got to say, we'll probably just do a quick one today, go through last week's games, look at next week's games. But I just wanted to say on the top of the show, you know, we talk about is it June yet, but you really forget. Once these games get started, you forget how much you miss it. You know what I mean? I mean, you forget how much you miss, you know, Mike Riley to Darrell Walker, you know, unless they're
I
facing.
I can't say that.
I'm sorry.
That much, no.
Try to look at it objectively. Try to look at it from the Atlantic Schooners fan perspective. You know, you miss, like, the Manny Arsenaux. You know, you miss how Canada kind of mostly has really great football weather at the start of the season, unless you're playing in Winnipeg, where you have weather that's not fit for any outdoor sport, apparently. And, you know, you miss in that sort of masochistic way, you know, Rod Black massacring the English language. You kind of miss that stuff.
Are you going to be doing any writing this year where you pick on him for massacring the language like you did last year?
Time will tell. Time will tell. You know, I wanted to do it this week. I wanted to do it. I got a good one. Okay, look. Since I didn't write the column, View from the South, which has been on various websites over the past few years, and you know, at my best, it's weekly. I go week to week. But let me give you his line of the week this week. Let's see. Okay, so he was discussing, I believe he was discussing your quarterback, Joe. I believe he was discussing Mr. Strieveler. And he said, quote, "This is all part and parcel of a baptism by fire here tonight." I mean, okay, so I can't bust him for grammar here, but wow. Week one and you're already working the cliches like that. Quarter one. of opening day, and you're already working the cliches like this. Oh my God, Rod. Rod is one in a million. He really, really is. He really is.
I bet you anything there were a lot of very, very drunk players at the Rod Black drinking game this
past. My God. Oh my God. Well, okay, look. Okay, you brought it up. Okay, so I'm going to pick on this because had I written the column this week, I would have written about this. Okay, there's a spot on the Rod Black drinking game. And I swear to God, I'm going to try and do it this year. But I'm literally afraid of being hammered from this game because it's a vicious game. Okay, there's a square on that board, or one of the rules in the game is that you must drink when he misidentifies a player. Okay, Nick Dembski's first frickin' carry of the season, and he calls him as Andrew Harris. I mean, I swear to God, I heard Dwayne Ford's eyes rolling. I mean, if you could hear that, I heard it. Plus, on top of this, okay, so the American media CFL story of the week, of course, was that streaker getting clocked, right? And that was in the Montreal game, right? He called that dude wrong. He gave credit to the wrong dude who smeared the streaker. And I mean, you know, this is American news today, right? And he called it wrong. I couldn't believe, I mean, classic Black. He's in mid-season form, as they say in Britain. And we're in week one. Congratulations, Rob. You're great. You're great. But seriously, I mean, Dwayne Ford in a previous life must have done something bad to football, because this guy gets teamed with him every week. This poor guy.
And it's too bad too, because you can tell he's really trying to, and he when he's not making those mistakes, he sounds good. He sounds like he's a very talented announcer. It's just he doesn't seem to be a fit for what he's doing with this.
The voice is okay. The thing is, like, I mean, I don't know, because I was going to say he should just call plays and then he should cut his mic. But he shouldn't call plays because he misidentifies players. And then if he only called the plays, you'd not get the or is it, which I caught five or is it between the two games. I mean, it was incredible. I mean. Oh, and
do you have the rules up? How many drinks is that one?
Oh, everything's one as far as I know, because that's all you need. But there's like 21 rules. I'll resurrect this. I'll resurrect this, and for the show next week, we'll go over the rules in brief. In brief, I'll try and be as brief as possible. But I believe, you know, it's all egalitarian, right? It's just one drink for each. Let me tell you though, you'd be friggin' smashed. You would. I'm gonna actually try this. But I just gotta, you know, I gotta fortify my liver somehow before that weekend, especially if it's a Montreal game, because I'll get a head start anyway.
You might want to, but it does say on the rules too. Just make sure you have the ambulance on speed dial.
Right, right, right. It does caution if you actually play this game. This is not for the faint of liver. It's a great game though.
And we do have to thank everybody's favorite Twitter follow, Jock RT, for this wonderful, wonderful game.
Oh, did he invent this?
That was his.
Oh, wow. Of course. I mean, the man's a genius on Twitter. It's not surprising he came up with this. Excellent. Well, kudos to Mr. Cartier then, because yeah. I enjoy this game. I haven't played it. Maybe that's why I enjoy it. Maybe I won't be thanking him so much after I play it. Right, okay, let's go into the actual football of last week. This was fun. Thank you, Joe, for bringing that up. I'm glad I got in my Rod Black rant, even if I didn't have time to write it up. Right, all right, let's talk about Edmonton, Winnipeg. Geez, Joe, I should just throw you into the baptism by fire here, like Mr. Streveler was. Now, of course, last week, you're a little bit down in the dumps. You know, that you had to go with the rookie quarterback, you know, hasn't been done since the days of the Las Vegas Posse. I love that fact. And yet, you know, he was not amazing. you know, but, you know, three touchdown passes, hitting all the right guys, two interceptions, one which looked like a nervy one early in the game, you know, just nerves, you know, getting out those rookie kinks or whatnot. 15 of 28, you know, not awesome, 178 yards. Long is 37, so playing the short game well. Let me ask you first, are you positive about your quarterback?
Can we go from horrified to neutral? Is that an acceptable answer?
Yeah, sure. That's fine. So he's trending up.
It's one performance. It's against a pretty decent squad, with all sorts of weird stuff happening in the game. Like you said, not great numbers, but it didn't look like he was overwhelmed. It really didn't. It looked like he could hang in there. And that should be good enough to win against Montreal next week. Ask me next week how I feel about him, because if they lose to Montreal, I'm going to be back to horrified. pretty much no matter what. Even if he puts up 500 yards next week and they lose to Montreal, I'll just be horrified just as a general rule. But we'll see. But I'm more on the wait and see bandwagon than I was before, where I was basically just hiding in the blankets, waiting for the bad things to go away.
Okay. I still maintain that 3-3 is doable. 4-2 is not even out of the question if they get a couple of breaks, because they had a break in this game, namely the weather delay. Now I know that it is irrational of me, but this is starting to irk me. I mean. Okay, refresh my memory on this one, because as I recall, this has happened in the past 3 years, 2 years, three times. Am I right? Didn't this happen twice last year, or just?
I know of Winnipeg Hamilton being delayed.
Right.
I forget if that was last year or the year before.
Right.
But I feel like it was the year before, because I felt. Because when Winnipeg came back out and just had it together and blew the crap out of Hamilton,
right?
I remember being very surprised by that. So it couldn't have been last year.
Okay. Right. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, because that was the one I couldn't place either. But same thing happened this time, right? I mean, you know, they're able to use this weather delay to their advantage briefly. You know, they go and after this delay, 13-2 in the second quarter afterwards, right? They are ahead at the half, 20-19, you know, but I guess it's a credit to the defense, the Bombers defense, that they kept Riley out of the end zone and wow. I mean, this receiving core, you can't even tell that they lost the sensation of the year last year, Brandon Zylstra, to the NFL. I mean, here's Mike Riley going 32 of 46, 408, but only one touchdown, and that was that bizarre 101-yarder in the first quarter. It was the second longest pass from scrimmage in CFL regular season history? Is that what they said? If this is Rod Black saying it, can I believe it?
I think I was too busy weeping at that point to have caught that. So I heard great things about the defense, but given I have a natural alarm clock anywhere between 4 and 5 a.m. and some other time during the night, when the first delay was very obvious it wasn't going to be resolved anytime soon, that was that for me. Until I had a natural wake-up call around 1 a.m. and the game was still on. So I caught the last half of the fourth quarter live again and watched from – it was 17-7 when I stopped the first time. I came back to 30-23 Winnipeg, and then I watched Mike Riley dissect the Bombers again. So this might just all be my fault. I might just be the bad luck here.
Well, yeah, you just caught all the bad stuff. you just happen to catch all the bad stuff. You know, it's interesting because you say you get up at 1 for the bottle. And I'm wondering, is that a bottle for the baby or is that a bottle for you? Are you hitting the bottle at 1?
It could have been 1 for me after the ending. But
yeah, exactly.
No, it was funny too, because we usually split the duties. One of us will change him while the other one's making the bottle. And this time around, I was the one making the bottle.
Okay.
And then I realized as I'm checking my phone, it's like, I don't see a final score here. Are they still playing? Yeah, they're still playing. So I finished that up, turned on the TV, sat down in the chair. She came out with him changed and very, very unhappy because he needed a bottle. And I'm like, I got this. You go to bed. Because I was taken care of for the next 20 minutes one way or the other.
Right, right. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. It worked out for everybody except for Winnipeg. It even worked out for the bettors who took Winnipeg because they beat the spread. They covered the spread, I should say. Right. Okay. Let me ask you this, Joe, then. In your estimation, the ending, the horrible ending of this game, how much of this is due to just the Eskimos having too much on offense or just Winnipeg not having enough on defense? Because, you know, we're praising the Winnipeg defense, and we did this a lot last year too, even though they're giving up 30-plus points.
I'm skeptical on the Bombers' defense, but I didn't see enough. I didn't see the in-between portion of that, and I never did get around to catching that in the middle because, well, they lost, and I had family stuff going on all weekend, so it wasn't really convenient at that point. But I'm going to kind of just say, let's wait and see. Let's see how this defense is, because I did see positive sides, even in the portions where they were getting toasted when I was watching it live. But I do want to see how they come out against Montreal, of course, and I do want to see them over the next couple of weeks before I really pass judgment on whether this is just the same old defense, even with the additions they made.
I hear you. Right. Okay. Boy, Edmonton looks good, though, huh?
That they do.
Yeah.
That was like the one preseason pick I feel good about at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel ashamed for underrating them. Yes. However, I can't even say that. I can't even say that because the talent is well spread on this team. This is, I think, finally a team that has recovered from the post-Grey Cup period when they lost their entire coaching staff and they were just picked apart by both the other teams in the CFL and the NFL after that year. I think now they could be – see, again, week one teaches you so much. I think now they're again like on that Grey Cup – serious Grey Cup contender level. I think – after week one, I would say they're one of the two. They're one of my two top picks now. But I can't change them. My picks are set in stone. Right. All right. Let's go on. Right. Okay, Joe. I'd like to ask you this one. Because I think this game is a real litmus test. I was, of course, obsessed going into this game with how the Saskatchewan offensive line was going to perform. I think that they did a pretty below average job in general. However, in all other aspects of the game, Saskatchewan looked really, really, really good, I thought. What were your impressions of both Toronto, who apparently team members and front office members have come out to say we were rusty, and the Saskatchewan performance in general? Impressions?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with the rusty part. It didn't look like they were all that ready to go, and they just they played like it was the third preseason game, which I've heard at least a few other shows reference that. Yeah, since you don't have so many preseason games, it takes a while to get into the groove in the
regular season.
And your
season's 18 games long, and you're playing a cross-division game.
Right. So you could say that they just didn't come out gelled yet, that kind of thing. They just didn't look all that good. I'm not too nervous about my pick with them yet to finish first in the East, but I'm going to have to see a little bit more over the next couple of weeks. The Riders, on the other hand, I saw more out of Kolaros this week. That makes me think that he might be able to carry this team this year. I mean, not as a top flight quarterback in the league anymore, but he's not going to be a detriment either if he keeps playing the way he did. I was with you on the offensive line, especially in the first quarter, and I did feel like they got a little bit better as things went on.
Well,
that defensive line.
Yeah.
Everything that was advertised.
They're pressuring at will. They're going to crush quarterbacks at will this season. If, you know, of course, injuries notwithstanding. You know, I'm interested that you brought that up about Caleros, because I wasn't that blown away by him. It looks like he's still trying to get the motor started, you know? It's like I'm still waiting for him to turn the corner. You know, at one point he completed 8 in a row, and yeah, he looked pretty good there, but I mean, one of the problems is his offensive line, right? Because in the second quarter, there were 2 consecutive scoring drives where the line was just pristine. It was just perfect. Just for like the 2 consecutive drives where they scored on both. It just looked great. But then, you know, the rest of the game, wonky. First quarter, brutal. First quarter, absolutely not ready to play. What sport are we playing? You know, is this rugby kind of stuff? But after that, a little bit better. But I did not see the upward trend that you saw. I saw a great second quarter and then seismograph after that. So maybe part of it is that. I mean, look, Caleros did enough not to lose, right? Not flashy. 18 of 25, that's 70, that's almost 75%. Great. 203 yards, okay. 1 TD, no interceptions, great. Serviceable, right? Not exactly like the run the scoreboard Zach Caleros, Hamilton scores 50 points quarterback anymore. But I wasn't exactly blown away. Again, I'm kind of still waiting for him to turn the corner. Plus, Toronto not exactly offering much competition here, because I do agree with the assessments that, yeah, they're rusty. Thoughts on Saskatchewan? How scared are you?
I feel like it's a little too early to know who they are quite yet. We do know that defensive line is fantastic. I have questions about their secondary depth, and we'll get into that a little bit more on the next segment.
Okay.
And maybe their coaching decisions thereof with that. But they didn't look like world beaters to me. Except for that defensive line. I mean, that defensive line can play anywhere.
Yeah, that says a lot. Yeah.
But I kind of feel like I got what I expected out of them, except that I probably had a bit too low of an expectation about what Zach Caleros could come out and do.
Right.
So that might be why I'm feeling a little bit more impressed with him than you are.
He's absolutely still feeling his way around. I mean, if you look at the box score of this game, and I was noticing this during the game, it's just like, now he's going to this dude, now he's going to this dude, now he's going to this dude. But you look at the box score for this game, and it's insane. The leading receiver has 3 receptions. You know, the leading receiver has 47 yards.
And that's to be expected with Caleros not having a lot of time in the preseason to get to know these receivers at game speed.
Right.
So it's going to take him some time to pick out his favorite. I understand that. I did see a leap in his play from the first quarter to the second, mostly because of the line. But he also wasn't taking – in the first quarter, felt like he was taking the snap. One look downfield, one look down at his line to see what was going on, and by then it was too late. In the second quarter, it didn't feel like he was making that look down at his line anymore. He was able to stay downfield more. That's something that I watched for in the Montreal game too with Drew Willey. Once he starts looking down at the line, Drew Willey, that's when you can just start getting ready to go do something else, because that game is over. Mm-hmm. Maybe flip back in the fourth quarter when the defense is rushing 3 and sitting back 9, and Willie will pick them apart and put together some really good numbers for your fantasy team.
Oh, man. You're bumming me out this early in the show by name dropping Drew Willie. You know, I don't even think he did that well in fantasy points this week, Joe.
He didn't. And to be fair, Caleros didn't show what I've come to know as Drew Willey syndrome. But I was looking for that, and I was feeling like I was glimpsing it a bit. And then as the game went on, he got a lot better about it.
Zach Caleros is just a bit cooler in the pocket, man. And I mean, oh my God, if Drew Willey were behind that line in that game, oof. I mean, I don't like to think about the consequences, but it's exactly what you were saying. I mean, Caleros is the dude with foresight enough to look downfield, which is really short at that point, and then check his line and go, uh-oh. You know, I mean, he has the foresight to do that. Willie, I mean, when – well, we'll talk about that game in a minute, but even when the Alouettes were giving him enough time, he still was like – it's like the offense that uses up the 24-second clock in basketball. You know, he was just sitting and sitting and waiting and waiting. And, I mean, it's just like – and Caleros is not guilty of that. Caleros, I don't think, held on to the ball too long once in this game. Did he get sacked at all? Hold on. I'm going to scan down here. This is quality podcasting. Oh, yes, he did take a couple of sacks. But I thought he did a pretty good job at working with the meager line that he had. They really got to do something about that, because otherwise Saskatchewan, both I think on paper and in past history, this team could be really good in all other aspects. Right. I don't want to get into the Montreal game yet because it's not in chronological order, and plus I don't want to face facts anyway. Let's talk about Calgary-Hamilton. Final score on this one, Calgary 28, Hamilton 14. Kind of a weird feeling in this game because it took the Stampeders, I mean, aside from one nice drive in the first quarter, quite a while to get going. But yet, because Hamilton was just doing so little and just producing so few big plays especially, that for me the outcome was never in doubt. If I had taken Calgary minus the points in this game, if I had bet money on this game, I would have been cool as a cucumber even though they were behind after the third quarter. It just felt to me like Calgary was never seriously threatened. Is that what you got out of it? Because, I mean, it's purely subjective.
Yeah, you never had the feeling that Calgary was out of the game. At the same time, this is a game that Hamilton needed to come away with. When you've got Calgary, when you're down 6 to Calgary and you've got the ball near the end of the game, you've got them in a position where you can make things happen. You can get a big, big 2 points that you may not have been expected on the road, especially given Hamilton's history in Calgary. But then you have Mazzoli making the one big mistake he makes all game at the worst possible time. Even if you're expecting a loss as a Hamilton fan, that's got to be a kick in the gut knowing that you were that close. You had a shot at the end. And then the final score is a 14-point difference because he had the one awful, awful play near the end.
Well, yes, but okay. So after keeping things down to like a Rockies Brewers score, let's say, there you go, Joe. I gave props to your team. It was 11-9 after the third quarter, right? I mean, Hamilton had to expect the barrage, right? I mean, that's the Stampeders. The fourth quarter is their game. And all of a sudden, a game which had been sort of manageable for Hamilton. You know, they, even though they weren't producing the big play, they weren't giving up the big play either. You know, they had this game under control. They didn't need to let this game get 19-3. But then again, just like Mike Riley, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell starts getting this offense to score at will. One fatal mistake. That was just the nail in the coffin. Because this could very easily have been 21-14, and the Stampeders still would have looked as dominant in this fourth quarter as they did.
True, but they still had the ball with a chance for the go-ahead score inside of 3 minutes. If you're a Hamilton fan, that's all you're asking for. But then when you get that close, and it ends up the way it does, that's the kind of game Hamilton needs to win to get above 9-9.
Of course.
Because that's where they've been sitting for the last 5 years. Even with the Grey Cup run in 2014, they've been just sitting here in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of game they have to win to start to get into the double-digit win column. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, now this is an intra-divisional game, right? So it's West versus East. So it's not as crucial as some other games. But I think you're right about this is the chance they had to beat Calgary, because as we know, if Calgary has a weakness. It's in that early part of the season. This is a game Hamilton had a chance to win. It's also, I mean, everybody wants to talk now about Masoli, okay, and his brilliant performance and da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, he's 25 for 36, okay, fine. 344, looks great. Zero TDs, one pick. He did score a TD running in the first quarter. But, and here's the thing, after, you know, they got rid of the ball on the first two plays, they had the ball for the first two plays of the fourth. After that, he went 1 for 8. You know? And I mean, that's the thing that the box score doesn't tell you, is that when this team needed to produce in the fourth, they couldn't. In fact, you know, on the first drive, when they actually managed to continue, despite Masoli going 1 for 4 on that drive, they actually got help because of a pass interference. That pass interference call was their biggest gain of the fourth quarter. Now, come on. Come on now. This is beyond, like, personnel and stuff. This is, like, this was falling apart, right? And they fell apart in the fourth.
Yeah, and they even still, they had a shot at it at the end.
Right! But they couldn't do it, you know? So,
no.
So, you know, I mean, that does not bode well. Now, do I feel bad about my 15-3? Of course. Do I feel bad about picking Hamilton to have the best record in the East? Of course not. Because from what I saw from Toronto, we haven't seen Ottawa yet. Of course we can take Montreal for granted. Again, 9-9 could win this division. And Hamilton could be a 9-9 team. No?
No, they could. It's just I feel like there's a hope and expectation that they're going to be better than that this year. Ugh, and I can't convince myself that they're going to be.
Mm-mm. Nope, I don't blame you on it either. I think they have to, and even after – it's just one game, small sample size, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, 12-6 now seems kind of high hopes. In any case, let's go on to that last game. Montreal at BC Lions. I've even blanked the final score out of my mind here. Okay, final score 22-10. Wow, I can't even believe the Alouettes scored 10. Of course, 7 of that was that touchdown in the first quarter, which was very fluky. You know, I was trying to – Joe, you're the CFL historian type. Let me ask you this. I was trying to think of this today. Has there ever been a point in CFL history when a team whose fans have to say Drew Willey is our quarterback is a good thing? Has that ever worked out for any team in CFL history?
Besides the first 7 weeks of 2014? No. That just hasn't. No.
See, that doesn't count. Half a season doesn't count. Man, there's no strikes.
Oh, trust me, I know. 6-1 turns into 7-11 pretty roughly.
Oh man. Okay, so here's Drew Willey, and you know, as they had to remind us at the front of the game, he's the 11th starting quarterback in 4 years since Mr. Calvillo. R.I.P. Sort of.
You know what blows my mind when I saw that?
What blows your mind?
Was that there was no quarterback that had even started a full season's amount worth of games.
No.
I think Cato had 16 and he was at the top of the list.
Yeah, but that was
18.
Yeah, but that was like some in his first season and some in his second season. And there was all that weird stuff at the end of his first season where he left the team early. But I won't give you the woes of the Montreal quarterback situation.
Right, but in the last 4 seasons, there hasn't been one quarterback to start even a full season's amount of games. That's suboptimal.
Joe, look, you bring up Drew Willey early, okay? Now you're rubbing it in on this. Now, come on. I know you're bitter about losing your quarterback, but take it easy on the Alouettes fans, man. No, I can't blame you. I can't say much about this game. The first touchdown of the Alouettes 2018 season was that weird thing where there was a long yards after catch, really, on Willie's only decent-looking play. Receiver gets hit at the one. Eugene Lewis pounces on it, is credited with the touchdown in the end zone. This is the only touchdown Montreal produced in the game. Scored 0 points after the first quarter. BC looked okay. Okay, I will say this, okay, because, you know, I refuse to be that impressed with BC, because even in the year that Tedford was coaching these guys, I think that was 2015, maybe even 2014, the BC Lions are notorious for getting off to a hot start. So I'm not going to give them that much. However, I will say this. Jennings looked great. 20 of 24, two touchdowns, okay? And, if I recall correctly, one of his incomplete passes wasn't even that bad, okay? So basically, one bad pass in the game. You know why? Because he's not running and throwing. He's not jumping in the air and throwing. He's not doing his Favre impression. He's not being the gunslinger. When he had to run 9 carries for 57 yards, he even whipped off a 21-yarder. It's the official website is telling me. This is the Jennings I want to see. Now, can he stay this way, Joe?
That's going to depend on his line. But
well, it looked pretty good Montreal. It was Montreal.
Right. And that's a mantra without John Bowman and without Gabriel Napton, who's now in BC. So I can't imagine they had much to put up a pass rush with. So
there wasn't much pass rush there. And even Noel Thorpe's gone. I mean, there's just nothing there. It's sad for them. So let's take a wait and see on BC Lions. But, you know, again, I'm of the mind that this is a team that always gets off hot. I think the storyline here going forward is going to be Jennings. Jennings, settle down. If you stay in the pocket, you're good. You're very good. You're awesome if you stay in the pocket. Because I know that John Jennings listens to this podcast.
Oh, of course. Everybody does.
Right. We're going to go on to the picks for next week. We'll take the brief musical interlude here, and then we'll do the picks for next week. Now, you have the doctor's picks for this week?
I do. He publishes them on his blog, which is ajmbroadcasteducator.wordpress.com.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, because I was a dumbass and I didn't even look at it this week. I should have for his picks, but we'll discuss those in detail or more detail coming up after the break. Let's talk the future, the short-term future, next week. We have Dr. Rouge's pick. I want to wish her congratulations. Not only did Dr. Rouge get a 1-1 score at the end of the first quarter of the Saskatchewan-Winnipeg game, it was very funny. Did you catch him on Twitter on this day, Joe?
I wasn't able to catch a lot of things on Twitter this past weekend, but I'm sure he had something very fun to say about 1-1.
Well, this was very funny during the game, because I was actually on Twitter during Toronto, Saskatchewan. I don't always go on Twitter during the games. It's a bit of a distraction, and, you know, I have various issues with my eyesight. But in any case, I was on it during the Toronto game. And, you know, the game was 1-0, and then it was 1-1. And at the end of the first quarter, it was 1-1. So, you know, once in a while, I'd fire off a tweet to Dr. Rouge, you know, how'd you like that, Rouge? 1-1, is that not a beautiful thing? You know, things on this line. And then later, he comes in. He, like, finally breaks away from whatever he was doing, like in the third quarter. And he comes on, and he wrote this tweet about how his phone is blowing up. And people are asking him what's going on, but he didn't have the heart to explain. And I was just like, well, more like you don't have the time to explain, because then you have to go into football rules, and on top of that, the rules of the Rouge and why it is so holy. But in any case, I wanted to say I'm sure you enjoyed the week in Rouges. There were some great Rouges this week. And that he went 4-0 in CFL Pick'em. And of course, Joe, you were 3-1. So good on you. Which one did you lose?
I picked the Argos over the Riders because.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's right.
Because I had this idea in my head of what this season was going to look like that I'm pretty sure half of the picks I made last week are complete junk at this point. So that makes me feel really, really good and really, really smart at the same time.
Well, it's like I said last week, man. You don't bet on week one. You put your meter on zero on CFL Pick'em for confidence level. You just don't put any stock into week one because it is the most revelatory week. Look, honestly, if I had to bet money last week on anything, I would have just taken the bank and put it on BC Lions minus the points, and I would have won because anything else just isn't a sure thing. It just isn't a sure thing. It's not. What happened in these games was not at all what we thought, I think, in any of these cases. I don't think I could have guessed any of these with a reasonable margin of error, except for the BC game. So week one is over, though. Now we have no excuse. Now we got to bear down and really apply the brain cells. Now, speaking of applying the brain cells, the CFL schedulers gave us the logical choice for week one, but the real poser of the week. Saskatchewan is a 1.5 point favorite, interestingly enough, at Ottawa, who we haven't seen yet and we don't know much about. Joe, I'm going to make you go first because I'm controlling this podcast.
Oh, okay. So I'm back to second banana status. I get it. We've seen the Riders. We know what they can do in general. I think we have the same feel. So it looks like their defensive line is going to be fantastic. There's questions about the offensive line and Kolaros. There's definitely no question about their skill players because, well, they're pretty darn good. They're so good, in fact, that they're able to take one of their star wide receivers and put him on defense this week because they decided they'd rather roll with him as a defensive back than go out on the street and find somebody to plug in. So they're that confident in their skill players. Ottawa, the way they've been the past couple of seasons, it seems like they're much more talented in offense than they are in defense. I see no reason not to believe that's going to be the case this year.
I have a couple of reasons.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of reasons for you. Here, let me help you out before you make this pick. You know, this year the Red Blacks are teaming up Newsom with AC Leonard. You know, they brought him over there, and you know, Noel Thorpe is the defensive coordinator. So, you know, on defense, this will be a new field team. There will be a lot of pass rush. I said this last week, and I was wrong. I don't think the Red Blacks are going to come out rusty like Toronto did. I don't think Saskatchewan wants to face this team right now.
They probably don't, especially since we really don't have much of a feel for them because Trevor right. Harris didn't get much of a look in the preseason because he did have a little bit of – he got dinged up a little bit and scared the living bejesus out of the Capitol. But it turned out to be a little bit more of a happy ending than what happened in Winnipeg. I'm going to go with the Riders this week. Because I do that defensive line and the fact that Trevor Harris isn't much of a mobile quarterback makes me feel like he's going to get harassed and harried most of the game and not be able to do what we know he can do when he has time. One of the reasons that Jerron Carter may be a decent fit in that secondary is because that quarterback's not going to have a lot of time. We know that Carter can play the position. He did that against Calgary last year. We kind of know what to expect out of Saskatchewan's offense. Probably a lot of quick passes, get the running game involved, get Messam involved. Probably not going to be a big swing in score. It's going to be a close game, but I've got the Riders pulling this one out.
Well, yeah, the line's at 1.5, so it's almost a pick, basically. All right. I decided going into this show because, if I were to hedge on this game, and it would have nothing to do with the actual outcome. So I decided before this that I'm going to go contrary to whatever you all pick. What did the doctor pick on this one?
The doctor's got Saskatchewan 27 out of 119 because he's braver than I am and picks final scores.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad he's in line with me on the bet that I would make. But okay, I'll, for the sake of argument, I'll go for Ottawa. They're playing at home. They have the X factor. You know, we don't know anything about them. I would caution betting on them in real life because, again, we don't know anything about them. This is basically week one for them. But again, you know, I know what how important Thorpe was in Montreal. I know the sort of defensive schemes he can create. And, you know, Leonard is going out there this week in the press and saying, I can't wait to play my former team. So I'll take Ottawa and, yeah, sure, I'll take them to win outright. But I'll tell you what, the bet that I would really make on this game is the over-under. Take the under of 51 points because this game is going to be a thing of beauty in terms of, like, pass rush. It's not going to be a thing of beauty if you're a quarterback. You might be cringing a lot watching these guys go down. But I think there's going to be a lot of turf eating in this game. I think this is going to be a real low-scoring game. And I did want to say this, too. It has nothing to do with the outcome of this game. On Daron Carter. You called Daron Carter a star wide receiver. I'm going to wait for the outcome of this game to really double down on this. But I'll say right now, I honestly believe that Daron Carter is a star player straight up. I honestly believe that he is maybe one of the top three or four players in this league. The fact that he can play both sides of the ball and be awesome at it, take on the best in the CFL at it, just emphasizes my point. I mean, Daron Carter is really a prize. And I'm kind of sorry the way things worked. I'm really sorry the way things worked out for him in Montreal. Right, Winnipeg, 3-point favorites just at Montreal. I'm not sure what the justification here is. I haven't checked the weather on this game, but it only goes off on Saturday. So there's Saturday or Friday? Friday.
I think this one's a Friday game.
Friday night, yeah. Friday night game. It's funny. I'm looking at this website, and I still have it set to Hungary time. So it starts at midnight, according to my schedule. I'm not sure what the thinking by the sports book is here. Maybe they don't like the rookie quarterback playing away. I can't imagine that weather will be a huge factor at this time of year, even in Montreal. Maurice Leggett was in practice this week for Winnipeg, so he might be back. My guess is he'll probably get limited time. But I'm gonna just go ahead and go Winnipeg -3. I think that they're way better. They're much more than a field goal better than Montreal.
Well, the doctor says they're better than Montreal by a field goal, 24-21.
Wow.
I'm more inclined to pick on your side and go, you know, a little bit more on Winnipeg's side as far as points go. I could still see Montreal putting up, you know, somewhere in the range of 14 to 24 points, somewhere in there. But I think Winnipeg puts up another 30, because if they put up 30 on Edmonton in that crazy scenario, I can't see what's stopping them from putting up 30 against Montreal.
Well, now again, Joe, I mean, it's early on in the season, yeah, but this is a team that hasn't scored in 53 minutes of any sort. You know, I mean, so I don't know. I mean, again, like I asked you last week, I don't know where these points are going to come from.
Well, the Bombers, the Bombers are good for giving up one or two big plays.
Yeah, this is true. The Bombers do add a good 10 or 12 points to your score in the last few years. They do.
And the Walker catch was off of Chris Randall, which kind of caught me off guard. But hey, Walker and Riley, I mean, who's going to stop every single time?
I mean, 178 yards. And, I mean, yeah, people want to talk about the 101-yard reception, but that still means he had, what, 6 or 7 catches for a good 78, 80 yards? So,
I mean,
that's just awesome. You can't stop that. The only thing that could stop that was Brandon Zylstra being in the same receiving corps. That was the only thing that could stop that combination last year. So it's just like nothing's going to stop them this year. They're good. Edmonton's good. Speaking of Edmonton, Hamilton, 6.5-point underdogs at Edmonton. Wow. Okay, in the CFL season, it's tough to call a week two game against the other division a must win, but jeez. I mean, folks in Hamilton, I think, are going to be sweating, and they're going to start muttering about a Mr. Johnny Canadian football if Hamilton loses this game, especially if they lose it big, and especially if they throw away the fourth quarter like they did last week. I guess the best thing you could say for Hamilton's chances is Vidal Hazelton will be out. On the plus side, hey, Terrell Owens might be in Edmonton before this game goes off. He was added to the Eskimos negotiation list this week. On the plus side for Hamilton also is Delvin Bro, last of the New Orleans Saints, who has joined them on contract this week to play in their secondary. Now, he might play this week. We might see Bro this week for Hamilton. But again, what can stop this Edmonton pass offense? I'll take Edmonton minus the touchdown. It could be closer, but I think Edmonton's going to cruise.
The doctor says 28-20 Edmonton. I'm inclined to agree with all you two. What I do want to see, though, is if we're going to have to talk about Terrell Owens for the next couple of weeks just because he's on a neg list, I hope what we get out of this, and I don't expect this to actually happen, and it's kind of weird to see Edmonton putting him on a neg list. That feels like something that a Montreal or a Saskatchewan would do. Montreal just because, and Saskatchewan because Chris Jones does seem to have an affinity for the big names from down south.
Yeah.
But seeing Edmonton do it, I said on Twitter that I would have stopped guessing teams before I would have guessed Edmonton put him on the list. But if we're going to have to talk about this anyway at some point, I want to see Owens go head up with Deron Carter for a full game. I want to see that matchup. I would pay good money for that.
Oh, my God.
That would be fun.
Yeah. You wonder what Terrell has. You know, this week he released this thing where he's working out with Julio Jones. You know, he's doing the 40. It's 4-4-40 or whatever. You know, released this on – oh, yeah, that's right. It was 4-4 because he's 44, and he ran the 40 in 4.4, and he thought this was a big deal. And I thought it was weird at the time, but, gee, now it all makes sense. It's all part of a conspiracy to bring him to Edmonton. I'm almost surprised that Hamilton didn't put him on the neg list so they could team him up with Johnny Football and get all the headlines. You know, I thought this was brilliant in American media this week, because if it hadn't been for the streaker getting laid out in the Montreal BC game, the biggest story of the week would have been Manziel sits during Tiger Cats loss. I mean, seriously, that was the headline of the week on the CFL from U.S. media. Now, you can't expect more than that. I know a lot of Americans do play fantasy ball, but that stuff is not going to make ESPN headlines. But, I mean, if Terrell came here, Terrell Owens could be playing on the same weekend he gets inducted into the Canton Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that would be awesome. Now, come on. You're the historian. Has anything remotely like this ever happened?
Not within my living memory anyway. I mean, if he does end up in Edmonton, I know that our friends over at the Eskimo Empire podcast like to talk about push-ups for players that drop balls. They may have to change that to sit-ups. Though, if Terrell Owens comes to town.
Imagine if the Ask Empire podcast could get him to come over there and be on the live show. That would be, oh my God.
I would root for that to happen. That would be great for not only them, but the entire CFL,
for CFL podcasting, for Terrell. It would be great for everybody. Terrell. You have to come. You have to do this. Because I know Terrell Owens listens to this podcast regularly. Everybody does. Right. All right. Last game of the week. Could be a good one. Let's hope Toronto kicks that rust off and some fans actually come out to the park to see the defending West Division champion Calgary Stampeders just 3.5 favorites at Toronto. I guess the bookmakers just aren't impressed with the slow start, relatively slow start that Calgary had, like they have every season. What do you like in this game, Joe?
Well, I know the doctor likes Calgary by 2, so I guess he'd be taking Toronto and the points.
Wow.
But
interesting.
I just have this feeling that Calgary's got a chip on its shoulder for this one, knowing that they didn't have their best effort last week, knowing what happened last November, and they're also facing a team that looks a little bit unsettled right now. I could see this one getting ugly, possibly.
Okay. All right, now you realize if you take Calgary, you're taking 3 away teams this week.
I've done worse.
Yeah, you're a 3-1. I mean, typically CFL Pick'em is a brutal game, and most weeks you don't go 3-1. I mean, not you, but y'all. I mean, anybody doesn't go 3-1. I mean, I went 2-2. CFL Pick'em is a vicious game. However, the CFL Pick'em pick for me here is Calgary. I'll take Calgary. I can't even play devil's advocate on this one. I just, you know, again, I've been skeptical about Toronto. I am surprised at how much respect they're getting on the Rouge, White, and Blue from my co-hosts and at the odds makers going into the season. Everybody looked kind of, well, the word is rusty, but they also look kind of tired and kind of old and kind of, I don't know, this is a team that didn't really make many acquisitions on the pro side during the offseason either. So I just wonder if they have enough weapons. I mean, remember this is a 500 team last year. I just wonder if it's there after a Cinderella season. So, yeah, I like Calgary in this game. I like Calgary in this game. Definitely minus the 3.5 as well. Right. Okay. What else do we have for the week? Yeah, what else do we have, Joe? Anything?
I think we've hit the appropriate level of crazy for this CFL season so far. We're talking about Terrell Owens, Johnny Manziel. Who's going to be the big name next week we're talking about for no particular reason?
Oh, for no particular reason?
Any guesses as to which random former NFL or college football superstar we're talking about next week?
Ndamukong Suh?
That would be something, now, wouldn't it?
He just walks out of Rams camp. That's a nightmare for me. That guy. Oh man. Wow, that's a great question. I'll tell you what. Let's put that out there. Let's tweet that out there. We'll tweet that out there. Which weird American player are we going to hear about next in relation to the CFL? All right, let's put that out there. We'll get the doctor's opinion on this before next week as well, and we will answer this. We'll also be talking the Rod Black drinking game next week. Yeah, we should try and get Cartier on this show. Do you think he does, like, vocal appearances?
I think he did once way back when with – I think it was still the Swagger and Stagger show, now Rouge Radio. That was when he was unveiling who fake Mark Cohan was. So it's like, hey, let's get the guy on the show. He came on. He was there. And then after, I believe when Cohan moved on and was no longer commissioner, that's when we got the Jacques Cartier avatar out there instead of fake Mark Cohan sticking around.
Oh, I love the Cartier. I love the guy. Anything with that Expos cap. I'll take it. Right. Okay. Well, okay. There you go. There's your teaser for next week. Exciting stuff. Will the doctor be back next week? No Pirates next week?
I believe he's due to be back.
Okay. I've jinxed myself, so I may not be here next week. But we will be back in some combination with the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast next week. So for this week, I'm Oz Davis, and for my co-host Joe Pritchard and my co-host in absentia, Dr. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the games.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.
there is two players. There are two players tonight in this game that you're going to see that are bringing a new craze into sensation. And they are brought it with the by making it the fact that they could, I guess I'm going to say, is that they're trying to step up is what they're trying to do.
What's the score on that Brewers game?
They were in a rain delay, so God only knows.